Hello, Marvelites! I'm Ryan Panagos, aka Agent M, and you're listening to This Week in Marvel, episode number 457.
But he's not alone. Oh, no, no, no. It's me, Lorraine Singh.
And of course, your boy, Jason Eichelhart, aka JMI.
Yeah, the trio, what do we call ourselves? The Three Amigos, I think I came up with originally myself last time.
Can we say that?
Yes. The Three Amigos. Copyright it. This Week in Marvel 2020.
We may not be able to say the Three Amigos, but I'm pretty sure we could say the Trace Amigos.
Oh, I like that.
If you're just joining us this week, we are talking about what we talk about every week. What's going on at Marvel, whether it's games, comics, movies, TV, all kinds of stuff. But before we get into that, I want exciting updates. Lorraine, tell me something cool.
Can I tell you, this is the coolest thing that I'm really into right now, and please judge me accordingly, but I've been really into figuring out what the trees are around my house, and I found this app. This is not an ad. I found this app called Seek, which is a naturalist app, and you can literally point your camera at a tree, and it'll tell you what kind of tree it is. And because of getting into the folklore of trees, both real and imagined, I've also gotten very into listening to real life accounts of fairy culture.
Okay.
I was not expecting this to go this direction.
You guys, basically what I'm trying to say is I've had a lot of time on my hands to do whatever I feel like. Is essentially what I'm saying.
That's amazing.
When we take the baby out, we say hello to everything. So I've taught the baby to like love and respect trees and talk to the trees. So she waves at all the trees and she pets them like she pets a cat and stuff. So I feel this.
Oh,
Seek,
cute.
I'm going to have to bring this on our walks with us.
It's awesome. I highly recommend it. And also, if you want to get weird with some fairy stories, they're all over the internet.
Oh, I've been playing a video game a lot and like sweating in my house because we can't have more than one air conditioner on at a time because New York City electricity, you know, so that's cool. Oh,
that's why I left.
Yeah, I've been playing.
It's not cool, actually. It's literally
it's
not
the
cool.
Worst, especially in a heat wave. But I've been playing Ghost of Tsushima, which is a real fun, real pretty game.
Do you like it?
Oh my gosh, it is awesome. I love it. The sort of like the combat takes a little getting used to, but it is one of the prettiest games you'll ever play. And it's got a great story, great acting, and it has, you like, I play it where all the dialogue is in Japanese with subtitles.
And oh, love that.
There's a mode that is a Kurosawa mode, so it's filmed, it's all black and white, like an Akira Kurosawa movie, because it's basically a big love letter to Kurosawa and samurai films, and rad. It's really, really good.
That makes me so happy, because I used to watch a lot of Terrace House before I went to Japan, because I wanted to get an ear for the language, and I've been missing having a chance to try to speak my Japanese very poorly, but with a lot of heart.
Yes! For all of our listeners, we want to teach you some things. We want you to learn some fun stuff about what's going on at Marvel this week, and there's a lot. We've been talking about a little bit of video games, so why don't we start with some video game stuff. The first thing at the top is we just announced Summoner Showdown 2020, which is going to be awesome. I was a big part of the 2019, the inaugural Summoner Showdown, and I'm going to be a part of this one for 2020. There's a video up on Marvel.com, which it's going to be a whole lot of fun.
So this is new, though. This is exciting because it's going to be in not just the United States. It's going to be in the Americas, Europe, Russia, Asia, and Oceania, and everybody's going to battle it out in three different rounds. It's going to start with qualifiers before moving to semifinals, and then, of course, the finals. But the qualifiers themselves kick off on August 17th. So you champions better get ready for battle. I mean, get in there. I don't know how you apply. How do you apply?
You go to summonershowdown.com for more information. Of course, you need to be a pretty dang good player in Marvel Contest of Champions. The game has like 170 different characters and 170 different champions. So there's a lot of opportunities for you to sort of get in there and show your skills. It's going to be cool because there are going to be new bosses this year with Silver Surfer, Captain Marvel, Infinity War, Iron Man. I'm very excited to see this come together. And especially because, as you said, Lorraine, like expanding so far around the world, so many opportunities for different people to get involved this year. It's going to be a hoot.
What makes the biggest difference between Infinity War, Iron Man, and like the other Iron Man? Is like, is there like a different power set, a different armor set? What's the deal? Like, what will the people see differently from what they've already been playing with?
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of different Iron Man. There's like a Hulkbuster, there's, you know, a regular Iron Man, there's the Infinity War Iron Man, and they have different special moves, they have different capabilities, different builds, which is cool. That's part of what makes Marvel Contest of Champions a lot of fun. It's different. You could have different versions of the same character, and they will work a little bit differently and provide different bonuses, and especially like as you go through your character, you know, you may have like your greatest character may not work in some of these battles. So this will be an opportunity for people to really explore what they have.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so if you want to submit yourself for world domination, go to summonershowdown.com and see how you fare against the world.
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, this is the ultimate moment to talk crap to the entire world. There's a person.
And what could be more American than that?
There's a person out there who has spent their life talking crap to their cousins, and now you can talk crap to the entire world.
Yes.
Oh man, I wish I could play this game well.
it was really interesting doing last year's Summoner Showdown and watching the really amazing players. When they start and they sit down, they just like get so focused. They're just like everything around them fades out, and they're just play, and if they make one little mistake, it all falls apart. It's really intense.
Also, I don't know that we ever said the name of the game. We're of course talking about Marvel Contest of Champions.
Yes,
Marvel Contest of Champions, which is available on your mobile devices, so definitely check that out.
But there was also a big old Marvel's War Table this week.
Hootie,
holy smokes,
this one was good. I know you and I, Lorraine, are very excited for Marvel's Avengers. James, are you ready for Marvel's Avengers?
I hope so. If it's anything like the Spider-Man game, something like that, where you like are in the real world and you have a free reign to do things, my head is probably going to explode.
Oh, your head's going to explode.
Oh my God.
Especially after what was detailed this week on the War Table. First up, they went through the beta, which is coming up really, really soon. The beta is...
It is... thick. It is beta-licious.
Yes.
It is so much beta.
So much beta. So the beta begins on August 7th for PlayStation 4 pre-orders. Then on August 14th, Xbox One X and PC pre-orders can go into the beta, and the PlayStation 4 opens up their beta to more people. And then by August 21st, all platforms will be able to get in on the beta. And so some of the details for the beta. Now, of course, you can watch this on Marvel.com and Marvel's YouTube and, you know, Play Avengers social channels. But the beta, once you get past that big gameplay, the 25 minutes where you play all the characters, you then sort of get to go into a whole bunch of stuff. You get new single-player missions. You get co-op missions. You get to do some cool stuff with Kamala and Hulk teaming up to go to the Pacific Northwest. They're looking for Jarvis. You take the Quinjet. You go to Russia looking for undercover S.H.I.E.L.D. secrets. You fight the friggin' Abomination in the beta.
Yeah.
So you play all the single-player stuff in the beta. Then you get to do more content. You get four heroes to choose from. So you get to play as Iron Man, Kamala Khan, Black Widow, or Hulk. Three types of co-op missions. One of them is called Harm, which is the holographic augmented reality machine. So it's a room that is very dangerous, if you get my meaning. Yes. And it would look really cool in the War Table video. So that's going to be fun. There's the War Zones, which are these big opportunities for you to do all kinds of stuff. You have big missions to do in there. Drop Zones, which are sort of like drop in hit and run encounters that are going to be great for getting gear and leveling up.
Like little mini dungeons.
Yeah, kind of. Nice. Totally. And then the thing that I love, because I don't play a lot of multiplayer games, I'm more of a single player person. And so the great thing about Marvel's Avengers is you can play all the co-op stuff on your own. And so if you have like all your characters that you've been playing with and leveling up, you can play solo and it'll take the versions of your characters that you've been building into the missions with you. So even if you don't play, like if the three of us wanted to play together, that'd be great. I can take my Hulk, James can take his Black Widow, Lorraine can take her Kamala, and then, you know, we could play together. But if like one of us just wanted to play on our own, we could still do that and have the same great experiences. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
One of the things that I thought was the coolest about watching this whole war table was Kamala Khan's face. And I know that is maybe a random thing. Like I'm pumped for all of the different locations and the different kinds of gameplay and all of that stuff. But there's this moment where it shows the way you can gear up your different characters and like get different gear and figure out like what, how you want to play, right? Because it's so highly customizable to however you want to play. But like Kamala's going through her gear and she like puts on a gauntlet and she looks at it like, ooh, yeah, this is cool. And like it was that tiny detail that made me so excited, because I'm like, if they're thinking about how she feels putting on a piece of gear, can you imagine how much thought they're putting into everything else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty smart.
Like that's so cool.
Heck yeah. There's like lots of little details like that you see in the war table. They also showed off the Hulkbuster, which is Iron Man's ultimate move. And my favorite bit is they show him doing the like rapid punch that he does in the.
Go to sleep.
Oh man, that bit was great. They ended up talking about the first post-launch hero, which will be Hawkeye, and he's got like a really tight buzz cut, like shaved head look. So it's a little bit different. What I really dug about that part too is they showed some great comics that were inspiration for it. They showed the Matt Fraction, David Aja run. They showed Tales of Suspense by our friend Matt Rosenberg, Old Man Hawkeye, which was really cool. And they said that Hawkeye's going to have his own story mission chain. He's going to be playable in co-op and solo.
Ooh.
So you've got all the base characters that we know of for the game. And then after it launches for free, we know Hawkeye is coming. And there's going to be more after that, which is rad. That's part of what they're calling the Avengers Initiative. So it's like, after the main story is completed, after the game is launched, the Avengers still have to protect the Earth from threats and incursions. And so more.
Oh, that's so good.
And so, James, you were saying like, oh, this game is going to be a lot. They said in the war table, the full game will have the full campaign, the big story and all that stuff. More than 80 of these war zones, more than 50 enemy types. New harm rooms, which are those like virtual reality things, more game types, stuff that hasn't been revealed yet, which they mentioned hives and boss lairs. I mean,
they just don't want people to live. You're just going to be.
They want you to live in the game forever.
They want you to live in the game forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
You don't have to drink straight from the fire hose. You can just play a little at a
time. That is very true.
When you got an hour or two.
No.
Your butt doesn't have to fall asleep.
Forever, Lorraine.
You got to treat it like Halloween candy. Just
oh, see, you and I eat Halloween candy very differently.
I'm just kidding. I eat the whole bag on the night of, and then I felt sick.
So obviously, the people at Marvel love me because Marvel Avengers launches September 4th on Xbox One, PS4, and Steam. And September 4th just happens to be your boy's birthday. So thank you for this wonderful birthday gift for me. I know what I'll be getting on that day.
I should make a call. That would be a really lovely thing to have it arrive on your birthday. And
oh my God, I would lose my mind.
Nice thing. And then they also detailed that once you finish the beta, you can earn the Hulk Smasher's pickaxe with bonus Hulkbuster style in Fortnite. So it's a cool Fortnite team up between Marvel's Avengers and Marvel. And did you guys ever have the Hulk hands that Hasbro made back in the day?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's what these look like.
Every time you smash them together, they make a sound. Yes.
Yeah. Our friend Jesse Falcon, he gave me the prototype sound box for the Hulk hands, which is one of my favorite things. It's just a little box, and you press a button, and it makes all the noises that the Hulk hands make, but it's like a piece of history.
Yeah.
I was going to say, don't you know that could go in a toy museum?
Seriously.
Never. It's going to be on my shelf somewhere.
There it is. I was waiting for it. It's mine.
All right, so those are the big video game things, but there's even more this week. There's a couple of new prose novels from Aconyte. There's a Domino novel and an Asgardian one. These are the first Heroines and Legends of Asgard prose novels. They're coming October. It's really cool, starring Domino and Heimdall.
You can read more about them at aconytebooks.com, and that's spelled A-C-O-N-Y-T-E books.com if you want to go check out more, or maybe see if you can get in on a pre-order. That's the place to do it.
Yeah, the Domino novel is called Strays. It's going to be by author Tristan Palmgren. And the Heimdall novel is called The Head of Mimir from author Richard Lee Byers. Did either of you play the God of War game from like 2 years ago?
Oh, yes.
I am familiar but have not played.
Let me stop lying. My wife played it and she played it on God mode and she beat it. She's beat all the God of War, so she, yes, my wife beat all the God of Wars on God mode.
Dang. All right, well, but Mimir is just such a cool part of that. So, like, Mimir is part of course, Asgardian lore and the legends and everything. So I'm excited to see how that plays out in this version of the Marvel Asgardian universe. And then they did tease in this whole release of all this information that there's going to be a Doctor Doom novel called The Harrowing of Doom. And then a mutant-themed novel called Liberty and Justice for All.
You're not gonna tell them what's happening? You're not going to do the whole voice of, it was a dark time for Asgard. The Allfather was trapped in a bewitched Alden sleep. You're not going to do all that?
Who's the voiceover person here? It's you, James.
Yes. James is available to narrate that Heimdall book.
Yes, I will be here to read for you.
I would listen to any of that any day.
For sure.
I'm also getting really pumped. One of my favorite things, you know, we have these sort of solicits and things come out for a few months in advance. And they have announced October horror variants. Ugh. It is one of my favorite things about October is seeing what kind of cool horror variants we're going to get. And they're all so delicious. I posted some of these on my Twitter. And then this one ended up on Screen Rant. Captain Marvel 22, Captain Marvel Unleashed Horror Variant by Torin Clark, who is a newer artist to us. I started following him and it got picked up in Screen Rant because it's this classic take on an alien movie, except for it's Captain Marvel who is the alien. And so she's coming out of like a flying saucer and there are these two very 50s like, oh me, oh no, kind of people in the foreground. And it's so fun. And it's such a cool take on like a 50s sci-fi movie.
That sounds awesome.
But there's
awesome.
A bunch of them that are all these love letters to the horror genre, classic monster movies and that kind of thing. So go get them. They come out in October. There's a ton of them. Go check them out also on Marvel.com because they are just great.
That Captain Marvel one is great too because the people in the foreground, they're Skrulls. And so,
yeah, like, that's right.
It's just a fun twist and take. I love these types of variants. There was another series of variants that was also announced this week that we wanted to talk about because did you guys see this? These are not just your regular variants. These are the Heroes at Home variants. And so this is going to be neat. Every Sunday in August on the Marvel social channels, they're going to put up a free digital comic. This digital comic is then going to appear as a variant on upcoming Marvel comics, these Heroes at Home variants. The first one...
So cute.
Yeah, the first one, and these are all, I believe, by the artist Gurehiro, who are these two amazing artists from Japan. I love everything that they do.
They've, it's so great.
They've done Gwenpool and tons of work. And then writer Zeb Wells, who's been crushing it lately, doing really, really fun stuff on Hellions and Spider-Ham. So the first one went up, and it is Spider-Man, and he's just hanging out at home. He's doing some cleaning. He's doing some baking. And it has a great little punchline, and it's a lot of fun. So every Sunday throughout August, we're going to get new free digital comics on Marvel social channels that'll turn into these variants. August 2nd, you're going to get Wolverine. August 9th, Captain Marvel. August 16th, Captain America. August 23rd, Hulk. And August 30th, Black Panther.
They're so sweet. And, you know, not everybody can be looking up trees with an app like I am, you know, but it's getting to a little slice of life from superheroes. Like, what would they be doing in their boredom at home?
Right. Yeah.
It's nice.
We have a fun little bit right now about Marvel Made. And if anybody doesn't know what Marvel Made, it's our new platform, which features like these never before seen prestige Marvel products, these high end collectibles that are going to be for all the biggest Marvel fans. So any one of these Marvel made products will be released on a limited time basis throughout the year. And then they're going to be available for purchase in like limited runs or flash sales or minimum pre-orders. So this first one is the Marvel Made Scotty Young Premier Bundle. It's got pins and some other cool stuff, limited to only 2,500. And we got to sit down and chat with Scotty to talk about some of the art and being part of this and all kinds of fun stuff.
So you should go over immediately to marvelmade.net and go check it out. Go put in your order now. And if you love those Scotty Young pins that we always have at the Marvel booth during a comic book convention, you are going to love this premiere bundle especially. But why don't we get the scoop from Mr. Scotty Young?
Hello?
Hey, Scotty, it's Ryan and Lorraine from This Week in Marvel. Hi. We were just calling you because we wanted to talk a little bit about Marvel Made.
Awesome, let's do it.
So everybody knows now Marvel Made has finally been revealed, and it's we've got pins, we've got a hardcover notebook that is really, really cool. I'm excited to see what fans do with that and the variant comics. Scotty, what is, you know, for your part, what is it like designing pins and the art that goes into something like Marvel Made?
I had such a good time with this one. We have been doing at Marvel, we've been doing the enamel pins based on my artwork for, gosh, what, six, seven years now? Long time. We've been doing them for the different conventions. And usually we just kind of grab different pieces that I've already done from this cover or this comic or that comic, and we kind of reform them into pins. This time was really exciting because I got a list of characters and I got to draw exactly what I wanted for a pin. So I think this time around, the pins are designed to really look cool, whether you put them on a hat or a backpack or your jacket. So it was really cool to get to build this from the ground up with a specific goal in mind.
Well, you know, you mentioned that, you know, you've been doing this for a long time. These pins have been around for a long time. I think for anybody who goes to the Marvel booth at a convention, you know, the first thing you do is you get in that line and you get your Scotty Young pins. And then you and your friends are trading and you're fighting each other. And then somebody dies or loses an eye, but everybody walks away happy because they have a Scotty Young pin. But I'm curious, you know, when it first came around, how did it start?
I think we all just had a conversation and they said, hey, I think we're going to do some pins. You know, the enable pin thing was kind of new and coming back, which, you know, I'm of the age where I remember it when it was cool the first time when we first had those when I was young, right? The thing I remember most was that first year at San Diego when we first debuted them. That line was crazy. And then right as you exited the line, there would be this huddle of people that had gone through their pins, and they were like you said, they were trading and everybody was kind of throwing it out. And so at one point I went up to the group and was kind of like looking over everybody's shoulder. And a couple of people in front of me were like, oh yeah, back up, guy. Like, back up, man. And I kind of was like, well, which one do you know? And I had bags full of all of them, even like the hidden ones as well, right? Like the secret ones. And I was like, which one do you guys need? And they super were clowning me. They're like, hey, back up. We're doing it. We're busy here. And I was like, oh, cool. And somebody said which one they needed. I was like, oh, I've got that one. I'll trade you. And they were like, really? And I was like, yeah, I'll trade you for this one. And then when they turned around, they realized it was me. And they were like, oh, my gosh. So I remember that being kind of the first time I was like, wow, this is a really cool thing that's happening. And then watching it at New York and Chicago and at every convention after that, it's just been really fun to watch people get excited and watch it grow.
The pins on this set are really cool. The Wolverine in particular, like, really struck me because it's almost like metallic mirror, like, style, the way they did some of the coloring on it, which I thought was really, really neat. And this being sort of, you know, years worth of honing how you want to see these done and working with the team. Can you describe a little bit your style and how you implement that into this pin process?
Well, I have to keep in mind that the production side of the pins is very different than print, right? Like the range of colors that I can use in print is very wide. And so I keep that in mind when I'm designing. And that is what was exciting. And this time around is I had full control over the color setup and everything that we wanted to do for these pins to make sure that you don't go overboard. So when it shrinks, it was really just picking those two solid colors and getting a really cool light source and just kind of cartooning it up and having that nice cell shading feel to it to make sure that at the end of the day, no matter how big or small, we can make these pins, it looks great from far away.
I really love to, you know, you have such a great sense of humor in your style. You know, they're obviously very sort of cute. They've got that, like, little squished person style. That's the technical.
Sure. Yeah. Term? No. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, when I was little, I was like, when I'm going to grow up, I'm going to draw a little squish.
Yeah,
style.
LSPs.
That's yep, you nailed it.
But, you know, they have such a cute style to them. And then on top of that, I just love your sense of humor. Like, I loved the Black Panther pin that was so popular where there's like little ball of yarn, which I think also was a stuffy at one point. Isn't that right?
It was a stuffy and, let's see. Nobody can see this, but I'm going to show you guys a stuffy and a really cool little statue.
Oh, from Gentle Giant, right? They were doing some statues.
From Gentle Giant, yep.
I have the stuffy. I'm looking at it. It's in my daughter's room. And I also have Rocket and Groot, the Groot stuffy with a little Rocket, which she loves. And she's like eating Rocket, like slowly, like just like gumming on his tail. I'm like, oh, this thing was supposed to be like a high-end piece, but I'm just letting her have it.
I love it. And I've got Spidey hanging from my ceiling there, the Spidey plushie.
Oh, speaking of Spidey, one of the ones I'm really excited for in the pack that I know fans are going to freak out about is that you got to do Spider-Man for PS4.
Oh, that was so cool. We did the suit for, like, what do we call that suit? The
advanced suit.
The advanced suit. Oh my gosh, that is a really, really cool design. I was a little scared to draw it at first because, you know, on a big full figure, not my little squished person style, right? on a big full figure, it all works. But it was like trying to figure out how to interpret that on with such little area to cover for my little. It was really cool.
Yeah. And that one is cool because inside it's a notebook. It's a hardcover notebook. You know, you get the pin, but you also get that drawing on this really nice notebook. And inside, which I'm really curious to see once we're out of quarantine, once fans are getting back to conventions and store signings and events, because it has Marvel artboard pages, which is going to be really neat. And I'm excited for a fan to, like, you know, I don't know how much you get to even do commissions or sketches and stuff at conventions these days or when we're normal. But I would love to see some of the stuff that fans go to you with that book for.
Yeah, I love that we did the artboard style for it. That's really, really cool. I've always, back in the day, I used to actually pre-print up paper with like cool artboard, you know, guidelines and stuff to kind of make it feel like that comic page. So it was really cool to make that notebook feel like a little bit of a piece of the comic book world.
Scotty, thank you for helping us talk a little bit about Marvel Made. I'm excited to see fans post pictures when they get their boxes, because even the box itself is gorgeous. The whole package, everything about it is really, really cool. And it's pretty amazing to see it all come together with your art, and you're the first part of this big new initiative.
It was really cool to be a part of it. I love the concept of it. I love being the first one out of the gate, and I cannot wait to see. You're right, that box is amazing. I can't wait to see everybody enjoying it, and hopefully I can scare some people at a convention again by creepily hanging around while they trade stuff.
Thank you, Scotty.
Bye.
All right, one more big thank you, as always, to our friend Scotty Young for joining us to talk about, of course, that Marvel Made Scotty Young Premiere Bundle. And remember, everybody, it's only available for purchase for one more week. If you want yours, you got to order it right now at marvelmade.net while they last. So, James, that was a chat that Lorraine and I had with Scotty, yes. But you and I got to sit down with a buddy of ours, Mr. Yes, Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed. Now, Lorraine, what was your reaction? Can you duplicate your reaction for James when you heard me explain Austin Creed and Xavier Woods?
Who? No, I was like, well, which one? Who's who?
She didn't realize.
Because I know Xavier Woods, but I don't know that he has an alias.
Yes.
He is one person to me. Purveyor of bootios.
Always. The purveyor of bootios, the PhD of trombonism, that brother who also has his own million subscribing YouTube channel, Up, Up, Down, Down, one of the greatest video game channels of all time. And he just happens to be eight-time WWE tag team champion with the New Day and a good friend of mine. So it was really, really cool to see my brother Xavier, aka Austin Creed, do his thing. And this interview was a lot of fun that we got to have with him.
Yeah, it was great. We did this one a little bit ago, but it's still pretty terrific. I think he's won more championships in the interim between when we did the interview and this.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Well, he wasn't there. The problem is the New Day won the title, but right when we talked to him, Xavier got hurt.
Right.
So they've got the belt. He just didn't get to wear it.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's one big family.
It's still the New Day. Yeah. Still the New Day.
The New Day is great. All three of them, they're terrific dudes. In particular, yes. Woods, who is our pal, and we're going to hear from him right now. Today, we've got WWE superstar Xavier Woods in the house!
Yes!
Yes, a.k.a. Austin Creed, a.k.a. host of the greatest YouTube channel of all time, Up, Up, Down, Down, a.k.a. the leader of twitch.tv/AustinCreed. Jump in my Discord, follow me on socials, at Xavier Woods PhD. My DMs are open. It's quarantine. I'm inside with a full computer set up. I'm ready to do your podcast. Come and get on my YouTube channel. Let's go. Marvel, what's up?
Let me tell you something, man. There are not many people. What people don't understand about the world of sports entertainment, the world of professional wrestling is, yes, you must be good in the ring. Yes, you must have skills. You must have your five moves of doom. But more importantly, you must be good on the stick because you must be able to sell your and besides, I would put you up against, honest to God, Austin, I'll put you up against any WWE superstar, any superstar in professional wrestling, period, who is there's no better self-promoter than you.
Oh, well, thank you.
But let's just, you know, let's get into some, you know, your Marvel origin, man. How did this start for you? Where did you come from? What is the nucleus that makes Austin Creed?
So for me, this is really weird because I'm literally remembering this as you're asking me, because I'm like, oh my God, what is my origin? And I am pretty sure that, so when I was a little kid, I was very socially awkward. I'm still very socially awkward as a man. I just mask it a little bit better. But I was super into video games and just like nerd stuff and comic books and superheroes. But I was also really into baseball.
Huh.
Oddly enough, it's very weird thinking about it now because I'm not like a sports guy. I would collect baseball cards like it was my job, right? And then I saw when I went to get like a new pack of baseball cards, I was like looking for like a special like rookie season of somebody. And I saw a pack of X-Men cards next to it. And I had like seen the cartoon like here and there and I like watched it, but I never like had taken like the dive into it. I wasn't like regularly reading comics. And I got this pack of cards and I remember vividly, it was the pack of cards from like the X-Men like Summer Beach Bonanza or whatever. And like I was like, and like I there was like a foil Gambit or something. There was something foil in there that I was like, oh my God, this looks so cool. And it's like Wolverine on the beach and like swim trunks like popping a beach ball or something. I don't remember the exact images, but it was dope. And I feel like I do remember a picture of Scott and Jean together with Wolverine in the background creeping. And I remember thinking like, man, that seems weird. And then I thought about the cartoon, like, I guess he always is creeping on Scott Summers' girl. Just having those cards in my like card books, I had like the big notebook of like baseball cards, and then now I was growing like X-Men cards. And I was like, you know what? I should start watching X-Men. I started watching X-Men, watched like all of them, started reading comic books and stuff, and then I was in, like, as in as I could be, as like nine. But that's all we would talk about at school, and we just loved everything, and it really lined up with my love of professional wrestling. Because in professional wrestling, all these guys and girls are just larger than life. They're these crazy personalities where they're themselves turned up a little bit or something completely that's a 180 from what they are in real life. They get to play this role of essentially either being the big good guy or the big bad guy. Or sometimes you're cannon fodder in the middle. Depends on what story is being told. But the fact that all of that same stuff is within comics, I think that made me gravitate to it even more because it's an escape from the current life that you're living. You have to live that life all the time, all day, 24 hours a day. So like if I can have like an hour of an escape reading a comic book where I get to learn a little bit more like about Gambit or about like Jean Grey, it's like, oh, this is fantastic.
Freaking Gambit.
People know Agent M has very, very strong, strong opinions about certain.
You talk about a creep. You talk about a creep. There ain't nobody creepier than friggin' Gambit. He's the creepiest, slimiest, grimiest, worst of them all.
I love I think he's a great character. Like I think I need to tell people that, because like I think as a well-rounded, really interesting character, it's great. But I hate him.
But what did he do that was so bad?
Well, Gambit is that dude who would like, he, if there's one guy in the universe who would like creep up on your girl when you went to go get a drink, it's Gambit.
The first episode of the animated series, that is the true. First time you see Gambit, he's in a hobby store. He's buying 12 decks of playing cards, and he's like, "You want to come and have a drink with me, Sherry?" On it. And he's like macking on her, and she's just like falling for it. And I'm like, this is gross. And he's like that all the time.
But how is it gross? I feel like it's way better than Wolverine, who's like, "Hey, I know you're in charge and I hate you, so I'm going to try to just openly steal your girl." And like, and in that first episode where we see Gambit talking to the girl at the mall, who, like you said, was feeling it, so I don't see the problem, Wolverine gets mad and cuts off the whole top of Scott Summers' car. That's not the first episode, but it's like in the first three, isn't it?
It's early enough on where,
It is funny to watch the difference between the creepers, because like at least Gambit is going towards a girl who is single. You watch that whole season and like Wolverine knows that Jean and Scott are together. And he kind of walked in like, "Yeah, I see it. I don't care. I like her." It's like, no, dude, this is not, find someone else. The great part about this conversation is this conversation sounds like the recap of like The Bachelor and how we can't stand certain people. We literally just like, you know, in this episode, I didn't understand why, you know, but you know, they're all great characters and I love them.
Professor X tried to give the rose to Sabretooth, but he just didn't accept
it. Don't get me started on Xavier either. But look, we're not going to go down that road right now. But Austin, when you got the card, you started watching the cartoon, were there other characters? Were you like sticking to X-Men, or was it like, "Oh, I'm going to try Spider-Man. I'm going to see what else is out there"? What were you like checking out at that time?
It was legit like everything that I could absorb. Once I got like the superhero bug, I was like, "Oh yes, please. I need more of this." But I think it definitely came more from getting into the cartoons and then obviously the video games. So like Maximum Carnage was like big in my life. There's like the first game that I could like web sling. And I'm like, "Oh my God, I can like traverse this stage by just like web slinging." And then obviously you fast forward to like the most recent Spider-Man that came out and you get to go all over the whole city. Like, that's like, that might be like one of the best games like ever made, just purely because of the movement system, the way that you can move around the city. So there was an achievement that was like, you have to web sling for like, I don't know, 800,000 miles or whatever, like low to the ground. And I did it and was never like, felt like I was grinding. Like, it was so much fun. It's so good. So anything superhero-y, I'm usually going to gravitate towards. But yeah, I'm a big Spider-Man guy, big Scott Summers guy, which I know that that's very controversial because people don't seem to understand that when you are the leader, when you are in charge, you have certain stressors that are put on you, and you're the leader because you're the one who can make the tough decisions. You don't have to be like Wolverine, who's one, trying to openly steal somebody's girl. Two, it's just a hothead, wants to fight all the time. Three, if it wasn't for Cyclops, Wolverine would have been left for dead many times over, and no one would be there to save him. He'd have been dead years ago. Cyclops is a leader.
Cyclops needs counseling. Wolverine, over the years, his loyalty has never, ever wavered. He's always been there. That we're not going to have this argument because it shows about you. But Cyclops has always, he can't decide. And all of a sudden, okay, it's like this. Cyclops is the Big Show. Pick a side. Big Show one day is on the show and he's with you guys dancing and gyrating and throwing pancakes. And the next day he's throwing Kofi over a truck just because he has nothing better to do with his time. That's how Cyclops is. Pick a side. Choose which family are you with.
But I feel like when he does flip to the other side, he's got good reasons.
Ah, I see. Growing up in Georgia and then all of a sudden hitting college, did you know when you were going for your bachelor's degree that it would lead to the squared circle?
100%.
Really?
That was the goal. The biggest thing with me is I have done everything in my power to take the lessons that I have been given by people that are older and wiser and more experienced than me in order to try to figure out what path I need to go down for the best results that I think that I can obtain. And so talking to not only like but the guys who trained me in wrestling, but all of the guys and girls that I've gotten the opportunity to meet and hear their stories and understand like, hey, okay, so this person's been wrestling since they were like 11, or this person's been wrestling since they were like 24, or this, like whatever their story is, whatever their journey is to get into wrestling. There was always something that came up they were wrestlers, and that was what they did. That was what they knew. That was what they learned. That was how they made money. They had the blinders on, so nothing else existed. And so when you live like that, it takes things away from you in the later chapters of your life, because now you have to use that time to start over. Rather than being able to turn the page and start reading the next chapter, you now have to go get a new pen, a new notebook, and figure out how to write this story. But at a certain point in my life, I don't want to do that anymore, because my body's not going to be as firm. I'm not going to be as mentally prepared for the next thing. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't want my body to go through that at 50 years old, at 60 years old, because I don't have another way to make money for myself. So all of the stories that I was told essentially led me to the same logical, like, thought, like, okay, wrestling's great. Hopefully I make it. But if I don't, I need a way to provide for myself. And if I do, I need a way to provide for myself after.
Yeah.
Because a wrestling career, on average, it's not going to be like more than like, what, like six to seven years if you make it. Like, think about on if you take the spectrum of guys. Yeah, there are guys like Ric Flair, who's been in the business for like, what, 30 plus years. Triple H just had a 25th anniversary. Those guys are very lucky to have the longevity that they have had, and to be as popular and as over as they are, you know, but not everybody gets that. Most people don't get that. And so my thought was, I hope that I make it to the top. I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can to get there. But regardless, I'm going to need this education, because even if I get hurt to the point where I can't do this anymore, I still have my brain.
True.
But it was always the goal to get a contract before I graduated. And so I was lucky enough to get a contract in TNA like 6 months before I graduated.
I remember seeing you in TNA, and I'm such a big Rocky III fan. I'm like, I love the Rocky series, but I'm such a big Rocky III fan. And when you came out, and I was like, holy crap, this man is Apollo Creed's son. It was like so cool. It was really fun. It was really fun to see that.
I was so pumped, because like we said, talking about superheroes. So like, to me, Apollo Creed is a superhero.
Yeah.
He's like the greatest character of anything ever. Like a guy who can, he's just jacked, sweet, tight fro, that mustache, looks great in a suit. And he could beat the hell out of you while he's cutting a promo on you. Like, what?
Actually, that film, Rocky II and Rocky II, Rocky III, are, to me, when it outside of wrestling, are two of the best moments to watch professional athlete cut a promo. For those of you who don't know, people always consider interviews or promos are when the wrestlers sell themselves on the microphone to sell the matches coming up. So when I remember you walking down the aisle when I was watching TNA at home back in California, and when you came in the aisle, I was like, this brother has this down. And it was so, so good. I mean, complete with coat and shorts, dude. I was like, this is awesome.
It's like that whole idea of like Muhammad Ali got his swag like from pro wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, so to see this character who's essentially based off Muhammad Ali turned up and put in a movie situation, I'm thinking, okay, this is wrestling, you know? And so that's always just been my thing. But yeah, it was wild, like with my roommates, when I told them like, hey, I'm going to be on a TNA show. And they're like, wait, what? It's like, yeah, it's like the WrestleMania essentially. So I was on that. And then a few months later, they ended up offering me a deal. But the thing that was really cool about this was with Jeff Jarrett. He was like, you know, we want to offer you a deal. And I looked at it and I was like, look, man, I have to finish school. Cause I think I'm like 19 at this point. It's like, I want to sign this, but I want to finish school. So like, if I can't finish school on the schedule, then I got to decline. I'm sorry. And that was like the hardest thing I've ever said to anybody in my life. I was like, please, please, please call my bluff. just sir, don't call my bluff. And so we were on the phone, and he's like, yep, well, by all means, finish school. We'll put you on like a half schedule until you graduate. And so told all my friends. And then they actually had a show in Greenville, South Carolina, where I went to college. I went to Furman, and all my friends came. It was a very small school. It's like 3,000 students. And so like all of my psychology professors came, and it was like, oh my God, this is the best. And then a few years later, got signed with WWE while I was doing my master's and everything, finished my master's with them. And it's just been something that's very important to me, because I got the two undergrads and master's. And I'm like, it's just something that I want to be able to show the people who are wrestling after me. Like, you don't have to just wrestle. There's more things that you need to be able to do. And it just makes you a more well-rounded entertainer, I think. Because obviously, like, my end goal for this life is to host a reloaded version of Nick Arcade. Like, that's pinnacle dream for me. Yeah. And so in order to do that, like, I'm trying to make sure that I do know how to talk. I do know how to, I have awareness of a live audience. I've got stage presence. I could sing for you. I could dance. Like, I could do whatever. I can host. Like, I'm trying to figure out a way to amalgamate all of these things into getting this Nick Arcade job. And wrestling is definitely the biggest aspect of that.
James, you were saying how you saw him on TNA. I wasn't always a TNA watcher. And so I saw you, I think, maybe it was, I just saw a clip of a guy kind of dressed like a Power Ranger. And he did this like flip in the ring. And I was like, who's that guy? I like that guy. It was the same thing the first time, because I was out of wrestling for a long time. And I grew up in the hardcore punk scene. And so someone told me, like, you should check out this dude, CM Punk. And I was like, why? He's like, he's straight edge. I was like, what? Like, seeing that was like, oh, there's that connection to something that is relevant to me. So I love how you and the New Day guys bring like those connections for the geeky side and have that for wrestling. It's just, it's real neat.
I appreciate that, man. It's really comes from a place of like, what would entertain me if I was still like in pure wrestling fan mode, you know? If I was me and I wasn't a wrestler, what would make me laugh or make me cry or like make me feel like insecure or anxious? Like, what could I do to myself that I would see on TV and elicit those emotions? And so there was never a group of guys or any guy that reached out to like what I was into. Nobody was a super nerd. Nobody really rep video games. That's why with New Day, we were like, well, everybody's going down this super congested highway when there's one right over there within eyesight that I don't see any cars on. People say like, oh, this person's like very lucky and this and that. And my grandma hit me with this quote and it's burned inside my brain, is luck is the intersection of skill and opportunity. Because there are a lot of people who are going to get opportunities and they won't have the skill to succeed. You're going to call them unlucky. But when a skillful person gets an opportunity and makes it, they get deemed lucky. But it's not luck. Like, you made that happen. You were ready for when you got the call.
I was there the Monday night after WrestleMania that the New Day debuted. And it was so cool to see. And I remember around that time, I was doing Aladdin. And someone backstage had told me, they said, hey, you know, Austin Creed and his family are here at Aladdin. And I was like, they're what? They're here. Okay, great. So for those people who don't know, when I was doing Aladdin on Broadway, there were a couple moments in the show where I was allowed to improvise and make up things because the genie is the genie, so he can do things. So I found a way to shout out you, and I'll never forget the look on your face. You were like, did he just say my name?
I was losing it because I was there with wifey and I was like, wait, what? I looked at her, she looked at me, it's like, maybe that was it. You're so good. It like seamlessly fit into what you were doing. So that's what threw me off. Like, I don't know if it was like meant for me because I'm here, because it like played very well. So like the both of you are extremely talented humans. And so I know that you're interviewing me and stuff, but I am honestly honored to be in this, the presence of you two.
Please. Thank you, my man.
The things that you guys do have inspired me to do things in my profession. So obviously, Ryan, working so closely with all of these elaborate storylines, and that we draw off of those things a lot. So for instance, we were going up against the Revival, and we had like X amount of time to do whatever we were going to do. And I was like, well, I got Dragon Con coming up, so I'm going to be gone for a few weeks anyway. Why don't we just add 2 weeks to that and like break my leg or do whatever to my knee? And so we tried to recreate that moment of Spider-Man talking to Tony Stark before he disappears. I remember going to Triple H and being like, hey, this is what we're going to want to do. He's like, isn't that going to take forever? And I was like, yeah, but it's just like in the Avengers movie. And he was like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, go ahead, do that. So I'm like, yes, we can speak this language now. And again, for the people that don't follow wrestling is essentially something where I can say, hi, I'm Xavier Woods, AKA Austin Creed, and I'm a professional LARPer.
Besides you being an amazing WWE superstar, your other thing is you are the most avid gamer I have ever met in my life. I don't know anybody else who likes video games more than you. What was the Marvel game? What was it? Was it Maximum Carnage that got you into that? That did it.
That X-Men like arcade one, the 6-player one.
Yes.
So dope. But like, I didn't have the money as a child to get through it because I would just die.
I don't know. Most people don't.
So really, it's a, I beat it on like an emulator years later. Yeah. I'll say Maximum Carnage definitely, but then the best one is the most recent Spider-Man game. It's great.
I have to ask you, just because Ryan knows, I told him it was bothering me. How long did it take you to catch all the pigeons?
I did all of the achievements, the in-game achievements, before I beat the game. Mm-hmm. Because I forced myself, and I took, there's evidence of this. I took screenshots and stuff and put them on Twitter. Because I have my PlayStation on the road with me, and I get to the hotel between like midnight or 3 a.m., whatever. And if it was like 3 a.m., I'd be like, okay, cool, I can only web sling for like 15 minutes. But I would do the low to the ground web slinging, and they catch the pigeons and the hidden stuff, and I would just do it every single day. For like months it took me, and I was doing, and it hurt so bad because I would hear like crimes going down and be like, I can't, I gotta focus. I'm here doing one thing. if I go on one tangent, I am screwed. So I couldn't even tell you, because I did it inside of doing all of the other stuff, especially like the wall running one. Like you have to wall run 300, like that's just what I did at night, every night for months.
I have to tell people this. Okay, Austin has a briefcase with his PlayStation in it. And if someone can find it, there is a WWE moment where they were on the road with the New Day and the briefcase falls, and you almost see Austin's life crumble because the PlayStation fell on the ground. It fell out of the car, but the brother walks around with a briefcase that you think is probably got like his documents from all of the shows that he does or his contracts from all that. No, the fact that you have a briefcase with just your system in it is one of the most like gangster video game things I have ever seen in my life.
Well, Austin, is it one of those game cases with the screen inside it as well?
Yes. So the thing is, so I did have that, but I shortly after it fell out of the backseat of that car, I upgraded to the backpack.
Oh. Your cosplay game is ridiculous. I mean, your stuff is like professional. I mean, bruh, you could like take your cosplay, be in a movie, take it off, go back into the ring. It is that good. How did you really get into cosplay? And do you have a dream Marvel cosplay character?
So the reason my name is Xavier Woods is because of Charles Xavier.
I'm gonna shake my head at you. He's a creep. He does terrible things. He's like, oh, children? Cool. I'm just gonna put them in front of murderous madmen adults. This dude who can take metal, and he will literally try to kill every single one of them.
I have love for Xavier. I know that he's done weird things, but who isn't always battling their sense of duality, honestly?
Wow, Ryan.
Okay. Wow.
Got you there.
So I got into cosplay because my best friend, Michael Mosley, he used to wrestle on the independents as well, but we ended up going to Dragon Con because they were having a wrestling show there. We're like, oh, we want to go see. And when we got to the event, we didn't realize it was like a convention, like dress up as anime characters and superheroes and all this stuff. Like we had never been to a convention before. And so, we saw what was going on, and the wrestling show itself is part of the convention. So somebody might be dressed up like Batman in wrestling gear and do like stuff like Robin might come from under the ring and help him. And they might hit the Batu.
You're on a Marvel podcast. You can't even give us the courtesy of dropping Marvel characters. You have to go with Batman and Robin as your references. How dare you? How dare you? What if I come in like, man, I love the New Day. Cody and Hangman Page, this is so good.
Can I tell you this? So
good.
I was looking in my brain. I was literally reliving the event and saying what I saw. And as it was coming out of my mouth, I was like, I'm on Marvel's podcast. It literally came out, and I was like, oh, God, come on. Okay, so we're there seeing this wrestling show because we're trying to get on it, and we noticed that there's people that might come out dressed as, like, Iron Man or anything like that. And so we realized, like, this stuff is really cool. This is really awesome. First and foremost, we want to get on this show, but then we got the bug, like, how are people making these outfits that we would see at the cons? Because, like, in the wrestling show, obviously, it's, like, the most basic form of the cosplay because they have to wrestle in it and get beat up. But when we're walking around, we see all of these incredible outfits. All like I'm pretty sure at the first one I saw like the dopest, like real Spider-Man outfit. And I was like, oh my God, this is like legit Peter Parker in this outfit. And so we started going to different panels about how to make this stuff. And so he took the knowledge that he gained from those panels and started making cosplays for real, and to the point where now he's got a cosplay business where they do like kids parties and stuff. Like he's like that's he's the man. He's so good. I love that stuff because, again, like, people like comic books, they like video games, they like wrestling, all for the same reasons. And I always try to explain, like, we all got through that phase of high school where all of the things that we loved weren't quote unquote cool anymore. And we got made fun of for enjoying them. Once you get past that, then you still love comic books as an adult. You still love wrestling as an adult. You still love video games as an adult. I try to make sure people understand, like, we're all the same kind of nerd. We've all gone through the same, like, nerd hardships. And so now that we're all on the other side, we have to come together. And people that love wrestling have to go to people who like comic books and, like, go, look, having that avenue into wrestling has now shown you a bunch of other things that you now like. And so if wrestling fans can do that for people who like video games and comic books, and video game fans can do that for people who like comic books and wrestling, and comic book fans can do that for people who like wrestling and video games, now there's this amalgamation of all of these nerd things that get raised to a higher level. The rising tide raises all ships, you know? And so that's like the main thing that I'm like living for, is just holding up a mirror to everyone and being like, look at yourself, because I'm the exact same as you, and you're the exact same as that person over there, so we should all be friends.
It's really fun because I get fans who, whenever I post something about wrestling, I get Broadway fans who go, oh my God, you're a Broadway person, but you like wrestling too. And they get so excited. And there's like a group of us in the Broadway world who are avid wrestling and comic book fans. And the threads that we have in the conversations, if people saw who was in this thread, they would lose their mind and they would go, oh my God, that person loves wrestling. And these are some serious hardcore people about comics and wrestling, and they are Broadway folks. So we get up every night and we rap about Hamilton, or we sing about the genie, or we, you know, Let It Go, or, you know, do everything that Elphaba does in Wicked, and then turn around and like pick up a comic book during intermission. And it happens all the time. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think that's why it's so fun for the three of us in particular to be talking. It's like, someone who is a fan of comics should be a fan of wrestling, should be a fan of musical theater, and vice versa. It's all versions of amazing storytelling and theatrics and exciting. And there's, like, I think part of what I hear from, you know, comic book fans who like poo-poo wrestling is like, well, it's just not good. Or like, what they say something that's like, well, not all comics are good. Not all wrestling is good. Not all theater is good. You got to find the great stuff, and then you will realize how amazing it can be as a storytelling medium, as an art form. Like, my upstairs neighbor is a famous fine artist. Like, he has got, you know, paint, like drawings in galleries around the world and all this stuff. I made him, like, I sat him down and like had wrestling on. He's like, wow, like watching the curtains open in his mind to see everything that was being performed and done. He was like, that was great. And he, like, weeks after that, he was like, I watched some wrestling with some friends at their apartment. And I was like, yeah, you did.
One of the best, you know, the MCU has been around for 20 years. It's awesome. But it all ended with Avengers Endgame. Is it true? Is it true that you reenacted the first 5 minutes of the film for someone in the WWE locker room?
Ollie. Yeah. Because he came into the conversation. Okay, I remember. So we're talking about the movie, and but like, so okay, I think it came out the day before, and I want to say we saw it the day of, and then saw it again like 2 days later. So essentially he came in and we're like, oh my God, we're talking about the movie, like, have you seen it? He's like, yeah, I saw it. And we're talking about it. He goes, oh, I missed that part. I'm like, what do you mean you missed that part? He's like, I missed like the opening scene. He was like 3 minutes late, and I was like, you missed possibly the most important 3 minutes of the movie. He was like, why? And I was like, it changed everything for me, because I didn't know anything about Hawkeye. So for me, that couple of minutes completely turned him, like 180. I was like, Hawkeye is the baddest dude in the group. Ooh. Oh my God. He is not fighting to save the world. Like, screw the world.
Yes.
Screw the world. This man, like, I have a family. I have kids and stuff now. And so my mentality has changed on so many things. Like, when he, and spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the movie, I'm going to talk a little bit about it. So Ollie hadn't seen it. So I was like, oh my God. Okay. So he's got kids as well. So I said, okay, so imagine this. Imagine you're playing ball with your daughter. I'm your daughter. So I'm like legit, like pretending to be his daughter. Like I'm like on my knees, like throwing the ball with him. And like, this ball is an arrow. And I threw the arrow. Now go get it. And then turn around. And I was gone. He was like, wait, where'd you go? And I was like, exactly. Now turn around and look for the rest of your family. He goes, oh my God, they're gone too. I said, exactly. He goes, oh my God, that's so important.
That's an emotional core of the film.
Yes, seriously.
Dude, I wasn't ready for it. Because like I said before, I saw him on screen. I was like, okay, what's going to happen? I went from that to crying in 90 seconds.
When that scene happened, it like everybody was quiet. Any dad understands? Any parent understands?
Let's pull it back because we're running out of time here. Yeah. I do want to make sure one of our producers, Zachary, has a very specific question he wanted us to ask. And it is about a Goofy movie. And I will say I do not have the knowledge base here. So I'm flying blind. So Zach believes that you created a character for Dungeons & Dragons that you did at PAX once. And Bobby Zemirski? So that one. Is that tied to a character from a Goofy movie?
Yes, it's literally Bobby Zemirski.
So I don't know who that is. So please
explain, Austin. This is good. So
in a Goofy movie, and I'll say this to the day that I die, Goofy movie is the first Black Disney movie. Rest my case. Yes, don't at me. What a movie. So Max Goofy's friend is played by Pauly Shore, and his name is Bobby Zemirski, and he's obsessed with eating cheese. And so this, to me, is one of the funniest characters because there's no reason for him to be obsessed with cheese. It doesn't add anything to the story. It doesn't take anything away from the story. This character, completely irrelevant to the story. He helps him with, like, some AV stuff at the beginning for his concert that he does with some lights. But other than that, he's nowhere to be found. But I love him to death. Bobby Zemirski in the Goofy movie loves cheese. And so my Bobby Zemirski, he is a, like, 6.5-7-foot barbarian with like tattoos all over his body. And he's got always like remnants of cheese on his face. And he works for cheese. He lives for cheese. He dies for cheese. And so people try to pay him money to do things. And he refuses and just wants cheese. He wants that good, huh?
Yeah.
Nice. Oh boy, nice. Look at the time.
Oh, well done.
Oh man.
I have to ask, bruh, you're in professional wrestling. You are one of the greatest tag team wrestlers of all time. So I have to ask, if the New Day, if E and Kofi couldn't be there, but there was a galactic war and the last match of the world between good and evil was some other person and their Marvel character, and it was Austin Creed in the ring, and you had to pick your Marvel tag team partner, who would it be to save the world? Who would it be?
Killmonger.
Whoa, nice.
Are we trying to like have a good time, or are we trying to win?
Well, you're trying to win.
So that's why I'm going to Killmonger, because Killmonger understands that when it's time to win, certain people have to no longer be able to participate. I'm definitely ready once I'm healed and back to wrestling to go on my full Killmonger vibes, because the only thing that I have my eyes set on, like my sole purpose used to be to get a contract. And then my sole purpose used to be, man, got to make sure to get to the main roster. And then my sole purpose was, I got to figure out something to do with myself. And I did. And then my purpose changed. I said, you know what needs to happen? We need to have our first African-born WWE champion. And so for years, I worked my cheeks off. E worked his cheeks off. Kofi worked his cheeks off to make sure that Kofi gained that accolade. And now it's time to focus back on your boy. It's my turn now. When I come back, I am telling you, I am vying for the king of the ring. It's the only thing left that I want, that I need. I need it like air to breathe. I need it like water to survive. I need it like food, like sustenance in my belly, because I am not hungry. I am starving, and I will never be satiated, but I want the crown for a little temporary rest, because my neck has been getting bigger while I've been out, and heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Hail to the king.
That hey, all hail the king. All hail King Austin Creed.
That is a perfect way to wrap up this
most definitely
this interview.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you enjoyed what you heard here today, and I hope you did, make sure to go to YouTube, type in up, up, down, down, hit subscribe. Also, New Day Podcast. It's a podcast with me, my boys Kofi and Big E. Also, check me on YouTube or on Twitch and Instagram at Xavier Woods PhD. Also catch me on Twitch at twitch.tv/AustinCreed. DMs are open. Hit me up if you want me on your podcast or want me to play some games for money. Thanks.
How many jobs do you have?
The two of you. It's just shaming everybody. I gotta go. Thank you all for being on This Week in Marvel. All right, it is time for our question of the week, which for next week is going to tie into our show, which is a big Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Palooza. We're going to have on Elizabeth Henstridge, who is, of course, an actor, but also, as of this season, a director for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Very cool.
And we also had Mark Kolpak, who is visual effects supervisor for the show, for the entire run of the series. So it's pretty cool. And then this season has been awesome. The team has been traveling through time. So I thought it'd be fun to ask if you could travel through time and team up with Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which era would you choose?
James?
Oh, please. The original. That original time period was just... they were so fire, you know, because whenever I think of time periods, I always have to think about my safety. So I was like,
you're like 2013,
2013, 2014. Let's stay right where everybody is cool. We get to the 60s and stuff. You're like, 60s, like the music is good, but you know, I can't go outside after 5 p.m.
Well, that was something that I thought was cool that they tackled on the show, where they were like, hey, this is not great for me. Thanks.
Yes. Yeah.
That's, I'm not that's loving one of the, this.
That's what, when I saw that, I was like, oh, thank you so much. I think people always do that whole go back in time thing. And they don't realize that if you're a woman or a person of color, going back in time may not be the greatest thing.
Nope.
So I really enjoyed that part of the show.
Yeah, no, I lived for the 80s. I loved the 80s. I lived them. I was very, very small. But the 80s episode was like this 80s hacker thing. I've talked about it a million times, but I laughed my butt off. I even loved, they did some like special effects work in that. That was so funny where, no spoilers, but like somebody gets killed and it's like somebody throws red paint against like a wall. Like sploosh, blood. I was just like cry laughing at how good it was. It made me so happy. So always choose the 80s.
Yeah, I was going to choose the 80s as well. It's so good. Oh, so much fun.
Damn.
That was a great episode.
So funny.
You know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that first episode, that first season, you really had to be a fan and dig in because they were laying groundwork. Like, it didn't start picking up until like season 2 and 3. But season 1, if you stuck with it, man, it's such a satisfying ending. And then you just start barreling right into the rest of the seasons. But season 1 is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
You can tweet your answers using hashtag This Week in Marvel and email them to twimpodcast@marvel.com. That is twim, T-W-I-M-P-O-D-C-A-S-T @marvel.com. Or send a message to our Facebook page at facebook.com/This Week in Marvel.
Yeah. Do that.
We got a lot. This has been a long show this week. So our main tweet in here from our community section is from Megan McCabe at Ms. Megan McCabe, who, as a reminder for everybody listening, is the Twimomaniac of the year because she started from the beginning of This Week in Marvel and has listened to just about every dang episode. She's really close to catching up to where we are live. And she tweeted, to go on the record, Agent M, the occasional drop-in of Niccolo on the early episodes of This Week in Marvel made all the hours of listening 1,000% worth it.
Niccolo, wonderful spider editor and just an amazing human being.
There was
a delight.
So where we used to record the show in the beginning days was the same place that Lorraine and I used to shoot our show, Thwip, the big Marvel show, which is kind of like a large walk-in closet. It's a small room, but large walk-in closet. And
I remember that.
We would record in there, and it was down the hall from all the comic book editors. And Nick Lowe would come in every once in a while when he knew we were recording. And my favorite was one day he came in and he tripped over the desk, and it was just chaos. It was just him yelling and flailing about, and it was tremendous.
My first walkthrough of the Marvel building, I got to see, you know, like, oh, the person who was giving me the tour was like, oh, and this is where we tape all the shows. And I was like, wow. And I literally told him, I said, man, it'd be really cool. Someday I'd love to be on one of the Marvel shows. And like, so to walk past that building and then like now to be on it is pretty, pretty awesome.
Yay. Yeah.
Dreams do come true.
Yes, they do.
And on that note, this week's episode of This Week in Marvel was produced by Percy Verlin, Zachary Goldberg, Lorraine Sink, and Ryan Penagos.
Our audio development manager is Brad Barton.
Jill DeBuff is our director of audio.
And special thanks to Professional Wrestling for giving us buff dudes and ladies in very small pants on our TVs.
I concur.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Lorraine.
I am James.
And this is Marvel.
Your universe.